What do you want?
Tell you the word, yeah. Be inspired and be touched emotionally. That's what I thought to be good with me right now. That's it. We're going to go off and finish your post starts and then shift the chair and she never thought it was going to be like, but Jesus. And his manifestation. That time of the spell is not found today. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Let's do a little more reading. Ceiling, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 3 through chapter 4 and verse 12. But I love this story, and I'm going to let the scripture speak for itself. And I'd like to make some comments. But this is the story of Moses at the burning bush. And just put yourself in his shoes. Think about what he may have been going through and what he was thinking. And Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses left the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Led the flock to the mountain, came to the mountain, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, flame of fire, this the bush, hold the bush burn with fire, the bush of silence. Moses said to him, put out from his eyes, this great sight, why the bush is not good? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him unto him, and out of the midst of the bush he said, Moses, and he said, here am I. And he said, draw not thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord God of the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my church, and have heard their cry by reason of their testaments. For I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, bring them up out of the land, out of that unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place in the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Amorites and the Perizzites, by thy success. Now there, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will say thee, I am there, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said to him, certainly I will be with thee, and they shall be a confidant. I said, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, he shall serve God upon his mirror. Moses said, God, when I come unto the children of Israel, say unto them, God of your fathers has sent me. They shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am sent. God said in the room of Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, if you will, God of the Father, God of Christ and God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you, this is my name, and this is my memorial of all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and stand with them, the Lord God of your fathers, God of Abraham, of Isaac and of Jacob, here I fear not to me. I have surely this thing, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. I have said, I will bring you about the affliction of Egypt and the land, Canaan, and Sephiroth, the Titans, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Pythons, and the Jebusites, until I am long with the kingdom of God. They shall harden the lifeless, and thou shalt become the hallowed elders of those human beings. Ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go and beseech thee 3 days, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to thee. I am sure the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. I will stretch out my hands with all my want, shall be doing himself. And after that, he will let you. And I will give this people faith in Sunday. Then shall come to pass that your love shall not go, and but every woman shall borrow from her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and rings, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters. She is spoiled the Egyptian. Moses said, speak slavery, they will not believe me. No harping on the side. Ladies, no more. The one said, what is that one called? He said, he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. He came in serpent. Moses fled from the Lord. No one said of the moments for the point I made it fixed by the head. For his hand was water, he became a rod in his hand. They may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, hear nothing. No one said furthermore, now that I'm hand in the moment, standing in the woods, took out and rolled his hand in the slippers, just so. He said, put that hand into that bosom again. And he put his hand in that bosom again, locked it out, and slowly it was turned again and still, as he said in the motion. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe, neither hearken to the voice of the first son, if they will believe, the son of other sons. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two sons, neither hearken to thy voice, then thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry land. The water which shall take us out of the river shall be not well. Oh, God's answer. And Moses said, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou speakest, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Moses said, you have made lands known. For who made them done? We've seen now therefore go, so I will be with us, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O Moses, send I pray thee by the hand of whom thou wilt send me. And Moses said, not Aaron, and be by thy brother, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth me, he will be glad in his heart. Thou shalt speak in the tip, and put words in his mouth, and I will and with his mouth, and will teach you your quantity. He shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a man, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Thou shalt take this rod in thine hand. From the adoption of sons. Moses went and when he turned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee. Now return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be in love. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. The Lord said unto Moses, go and return to Egypt, for all the men that are dead, for all the men are dead, which saw that way. And Moses took his wife and his son and sent them upon the ass to get turned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God. Now stop there. I've titled the message this morning, What's in Your Hand? There's a lot of things we could talk about in relation to this passage and about this story. A lot of challenges that probably all of us play to hear be challenged by the things. Okay, here's but for all of us, maybe things that Ed posed for you, maybe a little bit of the world in the meeting. Remember, first of all, to remember what led Moses to you read the first of some chapters in the story. He was a miracle day getting to Libya. Most of the little Israelite boys were murdered and thrown in the river and whatever else they did to them. But Moses, his mother and father had a burden for him. They hit him with a basket. Joe's sword, and there he watched. And then so, Aaron's daughter, Adam, Daniel. That's mother, yes, mother, we have nurse, loans, and then he went to the parents, and he was brought up in the courts of Egypt, and he was taught there. And I like just there's a little bit of enlightenment that in Acts chapter 7, and it's the story it's when Stephen was preaching. The passage a few years there, he tells us some more about history. Acts 7 and verses 1-20. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, came into his heart to visit his brethren and children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer fall, he defended and avenged him that was oppressed. He spoke to the Egyptians, presupposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. They understood not. The next day he showed himself one of them as they strove to set them one again, saying, "Sirs, you will not slay me long." But he that hid his name cast him away, saying, "Pray, dear, and hinder us, thou kill me, the thou in the seed of Shinest Baal." Then fled Moses at this, saying, "Stranger, you shall land of Midian, for he began to speak." The thing that I thought was kind of interesting there is, number one, it says that. Verse 1-2, it says that Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians and with mighty words and deeds. And what was one of Moses' excuses to God? He's going to send him back. One of his excuses was a handoff. And here it tells us that Moses was mighty words and deeds. So apparently, he was educated in connection. So the other thing that I thought was interesting was in verse 23. When he was 40 years old, he came into his father, visiting his mother, children, and Egypt. So apparently, at that point, Moses got God's call. He felt a certain amount of responsibility to the Israelites and to his people to deliver them. And he felt it was actually his responsibility all throughout to go with he went about to do it in that way. And we see how that actually brings us to Exodus 3 and verse 1. Now he was down in Midian. He had found a wife, and he was taking care of her. And by the end of chapter 3, Moses was now 80 years old. Half his life he had been in Egypt, and the last 40 years he had been in the backside of the desert, taking care of generals and sheep. So Moses was 80 years old. As a shepherd, Moses says, He was on the backside of the desert as a shepherd. If he was a shepherd on the backside of the desert 40 years, Moses, I have a feeling he had seen just about seen it all. I mean, in 40 years' time, he would have seen a lot of things take place. Like read stories of the West and the Oregon Ridge, some of that. I mean, there's a cowboy out there 40 years who's seen a lot. And Moses, that's kind of the life that Moses lived. And he's seen a lot. But here was one day he saw this bush burning in the desert. And this thing wasn't going away. It wasn't burning up. And Moses said, you know what, I'm going to go there and check that out. That's something different. And this burning bush, that was not consumed. It's God's way of getting Moses in a position where he can actually talk. And I really wonder what Moses' relationship with God was at this. I almost get the feeling like it took something a little special to get Moses' attention. And God knew what it was going to take. It's God's way of getting Moses' attention. He had a claim on Moses' life. He had a job for Moses to do. And the time had come. The time was right now for the children of Israel. And God was ready to deliver his people. He was ready to use Moses. And Moses, 40 years prior, had a call. Felt like he had a call to deliver the people, his own people. And now God was ready to take my words. And the problem was now Moses had lost. He was pretty satisfied with taking care of sheep. I kind of think that Moses thought, well, this is just the way it's going to be. I'm going to share it. He wasn't that up for the task that God had for him. Chapter 3, verse 10. God said, come now, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to bring forth my people, children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I think that's so moved on to Moses. A few things I'd like to think about from this passage. Number one was the call to deliver his people and call them his 40 years prior to heaven's presence. The problem was at that point that the point 40 years before this, I don't know if Moses actually well qualified. And when he went out and he saw a problem, well, that's it. He killed an Egyptian. And he had this idea that if he exerts himself, he shows his people who he is and what he stands up for, they're going to rally around me and follow me. The next day when that is, it's all busted. It's just that quick. He realized that he doesn't have time. His people are proud. People know what's going on. Family's life's nation. Well, Moses made it meticulous to take that to all that God needs. Please, it was of God, and it was in his heart to help his people and do that. He made it his business to make it happen his way. So. And the challenge I'd like to leave with is that, sometimes you won't call it, but we feel a responsibility to something. And maybe we feel like something we have a responsibility to get something done. Don't squelch that thought. But at the same time, the warning I'd like to give is that we We do it according to God's way. We allow God to work that out and continue to work. So often we get the call, and our first thing is, I got that. I'll take care of it, and I'll do it. And what God really wants us to do is to follow His time. And it's a step by step by step process. And like yours is the best one with any things. I don't actually think God can do it. I don't think God's nature was in like the children as almost he actually did, but Moses had a few things that God wanted to teach you in the 40 years. That's more of the lessons that I learned. It's rather between other things, that's a thought that's big speeches that Moses went down with. When God called him, Moses just one by one come up with another excuse to God and God kind of humble. Before a few back home, soon Moses had another. I love this. This morning, when the excuses that Moses made were not accepted, they suddenly thank God that. And as we look at these excuses, aren't they pretty much the same kind of excuses? If any number, they're pretty much a lot of these excuses. Well, they're self-making. When God, God calls us to something. First of all, see God's sign of the pen in verse 10. Verse 11 of chapter 3, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children? Yeah. Moses' excuse here was, I don't have the ability. I don't have the experience. I have no credentials. Who am I? And Moses was obviously thinking, I'm a shepherd. I'm laying here away and taking care of somebody else's sheep. And why are you helping me to keep the children of Israel? I'm sure Moses probably realized this certain extent, probably not fully. How huge this is. I mean, when he actually led them out, wasn't it like 600,000 that went up out of Egypt plus one of the children? Which easily be a million people. That's a huge jump. Yeah. I have no idea. The logistics of all that. And the excuse that Moses gave to God was, who am I? I have no ability. That was what he was insinuating. I'm just a shepherd. I have no ability. I have no experience. I can lead sheep, but I'm not as sweet. And what's more than that, he probably felt very inexperienced when it comes into all the city trying to work with Pharaoh and work things out there. That was the first excuse that Moses gave. I have no ability, travel and experience as a number two. God said, certainly I'll do this. Moses came back to verse 17 and said unto God, behold, when I come down to the children of Israel, and I'll say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? And when they ask me, what is his name? What's his name? Moses felt like he didn't have a message. He didn't have what it took to answer their questions. What am I going to say when they ask me hard questions? I have no message. I don't feel like I have this thing figured out in my own mind. How am I going to explain myself? It's another excuse that Moses had. Chapter 4, in verse 1, God, the rest of chapter 3, then, is God talking to Moses, helping him to understand how he's going to work through this. Moses came back in chapter 4, In verse 1, it says, so if you hold, they will not believe you, nor hearken unto my voice, you may say, Lord, that's not up here. I think in essence, Moses was saying, I have no authority. I'm just Moses. They're not going to listen to me. I'm just Jeffrey. Prove that you sent me. And I think in essence, Moses was telling God, you need to send somebody with some cloud and with some reporters. You need to send somebody much more important for Jeffrey. He probably was thinking of his father in law, just many of his father. Verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, I'm a Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thus, the Lord said, but I am slow of speech, slow of tongue. No eloquence. I can't talk very well. Basically, that's what I'm saying. Well, I know I'm not fit for it. I can't pretend this case and argue and in a way that can be beneficial. I'm slow of speech. I have a slow tongue. And I can imagine, I can't imagine. Look, 40 years on the backside of the head. It probably, when he left Egypt, in itself, right there, said, he could speak. He was learned. And here, Will spent. Says I can't speak. I thought of it. And maybe he wasn't. But he was telling an excuse that he had a slow tongue. God's question would have led to this. If two main men spent and don't you think that would be God specifically? Don't you think I'm aging now? I'm aging. Don't you think I'm up to helping move through this situation. Chapter 2, and verse 32, another excuse that Moses said. It said, I'm willing to send, I pray, the man of whom thou hast Moses was kind of running out of excuses. And to me, this verse is basically saying, Lord, I have no choice. Send someone else, I really don't feel like. And it seems like that was one of the strive God's voices. Lord, just send someone else. I just don't feel involved in the second place. I don't feel like it. Well, can't you relate to it? Can't you relate to something? Why don't you read it? Now, none of us, I don't think, fall for anything we tell the experience. And the responsibility. But God calls us all different levels of responsibility. He gives us things to do. He gives us, he has responsibilities that he gives us. Some of them may seem very small. And some of them may look very big to us. And some of the responsibilities that God calls, it's like we're thinking, what difference does it make if I do it or if I don't? And can't you relate to some of these excuses? And there could be a lot more. There's a lot more. The time was wrong for me. I'm too young. I'm too old. That happens. Or you know what? I'm getting too old for that kind of responsibility. I'm looking to slow down, not throw myself into something like that. Or maybe you're in the middle of raising a family. I got a lot of other things to take the right there. Just don't feel like I can kind of take that off. And I think, I'm not suggesting that. Enter into and we take on responsibility without thinking that we don't reputations and what all it's going to be. We're not suggesting that. Remember that when God actually calls, God has given us a job. He can answer a lot of questions. He can give us the strength that we need, you know, responsibilities that. For all the excuses that Moses gave, God had an answer. God knew Moses' weaknesses. He knew them. He knew full well that he didn't enjoy speaking. He knew Moses' weaknesses better than Moses even himself. God knew that Moses would have much rather died a shepherd on the backside of the desert than a king. And leading the children of Israel for God will be. This morning, God knows our shortcomings and our weaknesses too. And He knows our prejudices. He knows that there are some responsibilities that we'd rather not take on. God doesn't always honor those promises. Sometimes He gives us that responsibility to pay. Even if we think that God also knows the plans that He has for us and where He joins us each within Him. And that's coming. Certain assurance, knowing that. You know, I know what my preferences are. I know what my weaknesses are. And yet God calls us to certain responsibility. It seems tougher, you know. But God sees the big issue. He can supply us with the strength, grace, and wisdom for everything else. I'd like to think for a little while that a question that God asked Moses, first chapter, what is a gun? And really that question was an answer to one of Moses' excuses where he said, the people aren't going to listen. They're going to say that God did it here. God's question is, Moses, what's in your hand? And if God did ask, can the Moses consider holding this shepherd's staff or step out of what it looks like to offer this shepherd's staff that God's not putting in? I don't know if Moses had that. He had a shepherd's staff, and God didn't ask him that question because he didn't know what he was holding or what he in your stick. Who knows? The rod that Moses had was a common, ordinary shepherd. And I like to think that rod was probably about 20 years old. I'd like to think that it was the same rod all those years. So it may well have been. I think once those shepherds got the blue one in his tail, their rod, and their staff, it probably been a little hard. And it was probably sort of like sidekick. It was everywhere. As a shepherd, I believe that rod just goes for the moment. And he may well carry that thing for him the last. But that rod is what God singled out as something that he could use to help Moses. The responsibility that Moses had. And that impressed me that the things that we think are very common and very ordinary and just mundane or whatever, it's those things that God says, I need that. I need that particular thing right there. How's he going? Well, Moses didn't have long through. Waiting for God to show up in a small way. What he was going to do with this stuff. And, you know, he said, Moses, throw that rod. And it became a snake. Moses probably his what he knew about snakes is that's a lesson of common, ordinary things, things that we just can't see how God, a lot of times, those are the very things that God thinks makes up uses that and it's a resource that. Some of the lessons from this encounter.
Moses
saw from the issue. We don't know that. See, I never see that. I see that she's getting the city. But there are, what I'd like to suggest is there are burning bush experiences in our life. There are things in our lives that call our attention in a special way that we recognize that God's talking. This is God trying to get my attention. And when that happens, with those burning bush experiences, be aware that with that experience, you know, God doesn't just talk to us or something. He actually with that he's there's more candidate that we have to go and responsibility to go to. Another lesson, our natural tendency is to shy away from change and responsibility. And just like Moses, we can find excuses that sound very plausible and very legitimate as to why God should be there. Why we should choose someone else, and why we are not letting a person do this. And as I said, I think it's right when we're realistic weaknesses and admit our inadequacies. But I think it's also right that we be ready to lay claim to God's grace and promises that he has for us that he calls to respect. It's the strength, the resources that he never calls something and then lets us hang. We try to fix that now. It's got to be for three, it's very similar to that God that rests to do something. But he will give us the strength and ability. Number four, many times God uses the unnoticed and ordinary resources, abilities. Many times God uses the unnoticed and ordinary resources and abilities to help us fulfill his calls. And that's true in so many ways. God doesn't bless us in some little extravagant way. And then tell them, now use what I just gave to serve. A lot of times it's common and the ordinary things that God says, I need that. I need what you have, that resource, that ability to serve. But it's important that we let God have his way. That's when the greatest potential can be realized. Now, Moses would have hung on to that rod. God said, throw it down. Moses would have hung on to it. God could have done it. He did. I mean, when God told Moses to let it go, throw it down, that's what Moses did. And it turned into a snake. God said, grab it, take it by the tail. Moses did that. Turned to a rod again. You know, Moses would have never realized the power of that rod had he just to miss your sick cover. Yes, the sick coverage, but we don't do that. We hang on to the resources that we have. We don't want to part with them. We don't want to let them go. It's because we're afraid we're going to lose them. But when God puts his hand on one of our resources, one of our abilities, says, I want them. I need them. We're doing ourselves a big disfavor. Hang on to it. Think that we're just not going to let this go with this motion. We need to be willing to let it go. And that's what God is doing. Think that places that we never do that. And I don't think in Moses' wildest dreams, he didn't expect that this thing was going to come to stage. But what's more than this, he didn't expect that this rod that he was holding, one day, he would hold it over the Red Sea. And a million performances. Never expected that God was God. Who ever expected that he could strike a rock and water would gush out of that rock? Water for a million people and plus all their flocks. But when Moses was willing to give that common and ordinary human resource to God, why? That was our potential to give the life. And I'd like to just draw your attention to verse 20 of chapter 2. It says that Solomon's third is wrong, Solomon's new term to London preaching. And notice the last phrase there. Moses took the rod of God. No longer was it Moses' rod, that was God's rod. It's the rod of God, and he was going to use that in a way that Moses should have never done it in his own power's strength. My challenge for each of you is going to God calls. Don't wait. Just what are the promises that God has for you? What are those promises? And lay claim to the grace of God for the things that you need to do. The other challenge that I'd like to do is when God singles out a limited resource that you have, that he wants to use, you know, because God can really use that resource in releasing the kingdom of God. Let's see.